Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Roel Henson.
Yeah, no problem.
This is the Medicine of Success podcast, and we're here today. We're gonna talk about a special topic in medicine because, in fact, I've been wanting to do this type of surgery, but there's no really access right now for my specialty to do this type of surgery. But my guest today has been doing this for the past few years, and just to introduce you to my guest. The CV is so long, but I'm just gonna mention a few. Okay, so our guest has acquired his medical degree in UST, same as me, medicine and surgery. He also did his residency in general surgery in St. Luke's Medical Center, same as me. We were actually batchmates together in St. Luke's. He pursued international studies by completing a fellowship in National University of Singapore. And also a clinical robotic surgery association completed he's a member of the world-renowned clinical robotic surgery association, and he completed his international masteral for health leadership master of management on a scholarship grant in McGill University in Quebec. He is one of the leading coordinators and the president of the Telemedicine Network of the Philippines, and presently representing our country in the medical working group of the Telemedicine Development Center of Asia and the Asia Pacific Advanced Network. So this is for the teleconsulting, telemedicine, which is what's happening in right now during the quarantine. And he is also the former head of the minimally invasive and robotic surgery center in St. Luke's Medical Center, Quezon City and Global City. He's a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and the Philippine College of Surgeons. Some milestones here: was the first endocrine surgeon in the Philippines in 2005. He developed the minimally invasive robotic surgery center in Global City in St. Luke's, and also performed the very first robotic thyroid surgery in St. Luke's Medical Center in Global City. Without further ado, I welcome you, our guest, Dr. Jeffrey Domino. Welcome, classmate.
Good evening, Raul. Good evening to all the listeners. And thank you for the invitation. I'm really proud and happy to see you, that you've been doing this.
Yes, I've already doing this for almost 2 months now. And I've had a few guests, also our friends in med school. And I thought of guesting you because I'm really, really interested in robotic surgery. Okay. Our topic is very interesting, and in fact, in my introduction, I told the listeners that I wanted to do robotic surgery, but my specialty, which is oculoplastics, there's no platform for that one. But we're going to interview you, okay? So, Jeff, I just call you Dr. Jeff, okay? Dr. Jeff, tell us something about yourself, okay? Like where you came from, high school, college, etc.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much, Raul. My name is Jeffrey Geronimo P. Domino. I finished my high school actually in Leyte, in Ormoc City. That's where in the Visayas region, and came here in Manila and finished my medicine in UST Medical, UST or USTH. No? That's where I got my medical degree. Then I pursued my residency in general surgery at St. Luke's Medical Center, that's in Quezon City, where I graduated around 2001. And then from there, I still pursued further studies. And I did further studies in terms of a fellowship or a clinical fellowship in the National University Hospital in Singapore. And I got two fellowship training on that time. So I finished endocrine surgery as well as advanced minimally invasive surgery. But then again, things did not stop there. I still pursued more studies until I was able to train in robotic surgery, where I had my first training at the in California in the US, and they did taught me about how to control the robotic platform there in California. And then after that, I still further study in Korea, that's in the Yonsei University in Korea, and still pursued robotic surgery. After doing the robotic surgery, I also finished, I was lucky to get a scholarship grant wherein I got and finished my master's in management with the program of International Masters for Health Leadership. That's in McGill University in Quebec in Canada. That's in Montreal, Canada. So it's quite the journey then, Raul.
That's very nice. I remember in college, we were also together in the UNSD College of Science, and we were just goofing around. And now, look at you with all your credentials and with all your achievements and your residency, your fellowships and all your training. And I'm sure with all of that, and then you brought it home back here in the Philippines and you started the robotic minimally invasive center in St. Luke's Global. And I'm proud. I'm proud that you were actually head of that. And just one question also. Why surgery? Why did you take surgery as a specialty? There's always a reason.
Yeah, there's always a reason, Raul. And I found that passion when there was during an emergency. You know? So when I was still a medical student, at that time, I was still studying. No, I was not even a medical student at that time. I was still in BS biology in USD. And it was in an emergency room. I accidentally went there because of a friend. Then I saw this patients in trauma. So I saw how things were, the surgeons at that time were, fixing or really taking care of the patient. And I found I was inspired with that, and looking at the doctors helping this patient, and it really triggered my enthusiasm, my passion, that I wanted to be a surgeon at that time. Then from then on, things fall into proper places, and then eventually I was able to get a residency in surgery, and then it even furthered my interest in pursuing the field. And even after the 5 years of training in general surgery, I still pursued further. That's why I went to Singapore and really advanced the field of training in surgery. So, yeah, it was basically probably a destiny, Raul.
Yeah, with your journey and now you brought robotic surgery back here in the Philippines.
In the Philippines, I practiced my robotic surgery here in Philippines in St. Luke's Medical Center. And St. Luke's was one of the hospitals that really started the robotic surgery program. Okay, and when it started, it even got the most, at that time, the most advanced, the latest model, which is the Da Vinci SI. And it's the third generation and the latest model at that time. So when we got that program, at first, of course, you need a lot of training. No, you're using a different machine, a very intuitive machine, and you need to learn how to really handle it. And the most what I learned about using it is that the degree of trying to perfect or trying to be very proficient with regards to safety. No. Mm-hmm. Using this platform, but it has to be safe to the patients. So that's why it took me some time to train. So that's why we went to the US, we went to Korea, just to really train on this. And now in the Philippines, there are three robots in the Philippines, no? And in the three hospitals. And a lot of these robots are doing different procedures in terms of minimally invasive surgery. So that's the beauty about this platform, Raul.
Okay. You mentioned minimally invasive surgery. In ophthalmology, we also do small incision surgeries. What is minimally invasive surgery in terms of the subspecialty of surgery?
That's a good question. Thank you. Minimally invasive surgery is actually, that's what you hear about laparoscopy. Some would say it's laser surgery. Minimally invasive surgery is actually a minimal access type of surgery, wherein before patients would end up or experience long incisions, maximally invasive or more traumatic types of surgery. When you talk about minimally invasive, it's like a keyhole surgery. You only need small holes or keyhole, and these are the access points wherein the instruments are placed, okay, in the patient's body, and we are able to do the surgery inside the patient's body, guided by the camera or the monitor that is inserted inside. And then after the surgery, all the access, all the instruments are removed safely, and the patient ends up with very small incision. So with that, that's very less trauma, minimal pain, minimal chance of infection, even minimal bleeding. And that's why, because of that, the beauty about this is that the patient benefit is very, very good, because patient usually recovers quicker and goes back to work faster.
Very nice. Same thing with ophthalmology. We also do that. But in your case, okay, you minimally invasive surgery. I mean, when we were in med school long years ago, our surgeons were already doing minimally invasive surgery, laparoscopic surgery. And through the generations, through the years, and then came robotic surgery. Now, tell us what's new with robotic surgery and what's the difference between the old minimally invasive surgery and robotic minimally invasive surgery.
Yes, that's good, Raul. When you talk about minimal invasive surgery, I'll give you an example. We call it laparoscopy or laparoscopic surgery. Okay, laparoscopic surgery, and one of the most common procedures or surgery that we do is laparoscopic cholecystectomy or the gallbladder procedure. Okay, and before, when we do laparoscopic surgery, we still put that same holes, and the doctor, the surgeon, is the one handling the instruments, and these instruments are small, slender, long, but very small instruments that are actually poked inside the body. Robotic surgery, actually, the beauty about this is that the surgeon is not near the patient, but a bit far, okay? Plus, it uses instruments that are very intuitive, meaning it mimics the hands of the surgeon, okay? Unlike laparoscopy, the instruments are limited in movement, okay? Mm-hmm. But robotic surgery, the hands can rotate, can bend, can open up. So it really mimics the hand of the surgeon. So it's very intuitive. Plus, your vision is actually 3D. So the depth perception of robotic surgery is far, far greater compared to the conventional laparoscopic, which is only a two-dimensional view, okay? And now the new things about robotic surgery is that there is what we call as the fluorescence-guided surgery, wherein they are the ones who started to use fluorescence imaging. And what does fluorescence imaging? Imagine if you remember the movie Superman, where he has an X-ray vision, he can see through walls, can see through. Now, with this fluorescence imaging, the important structures can be seen because they glow during the surgery, and then the surgeons are guided. And if you are guided, you know where to accurately do your dissection or do your surgery, avoiding this very sensitive and important structure, and you preserve them, thus increasing the degree of safety for the patient. So that's the beauty about this robotic surgery compared to laparoscopic surgery.
Okay, very well said. The robotic surgery has a lot of advantages, no? What other advantages you think, can you think of, like me, for example, no? What if a surgeon has tremors, okay? Can the robot reduce tremors?
Yes, that's very good. You're correct, Raul. Remember I mentioned about the robotic arms are very, it mimics the surgeon's hand, but it also decreases the tremors of the surgeon. Now, if you have a surgeon who's very good, but I know, you know, sometimes we are all just humans. We develop tremors along the way. This is not seen or this is not transferred to the patient. So the robot is able to really amplify finer movements and avoid tremors, thus for those surgeries that really need very accurate and very refined dissection, suturing, cutting, the robot can do it. Okay, so that's one important features versus the laparoscopic surgery. So again, another plus for the robotics. And actually, just to add lang, Raul, you know what's happening now, no? Because of the coronavirus, the COVID, a lot of surgeons are very concerned in doing laparoscopic surgery because they are near the patient and they're afraid that during the surgery, the smoke or the plumes that is generated during the surgery might, you know, infect or might expose the surgeon and even the surgical team. This is, I think, where the robotic platform comes as a good or advantageous. Why? Because the surgeon can operate on the patient far from the patient or even on the other room or besides the other operating room, which means the exposure is lessened.
Okay.
And still the patient is able to get the benefits of robotic surgery.
Okay. Well said, Jeff, no? About distance, no? And then, of course, the listeners are wondering,
yes,
how can the surgeon be in another room? Okay, so can you give us the technical aspect of robotic surgery? Like, is there a machine beside the patient? And then there's another machine in the other room? And then who does the surgery in the operating room? Can you expound on that a little bit? Make that's it a detailed explanation?
Okay. That's a good question, Raul. You see, there are three main parts of the robotic platform: the robotic arms, okay, the surgeon control, and the console. What does it mean? The main control or the main console is where the CPUs, the monitors are all located. The robotic arms that's the one that actually is connected to the instrument that goes to the patient. The robotic console or the control of the robotic control is actually another big instrument wherein that's where the surgeon controls it. So which means that the robot does not do the surgery. It's still the surgeon. It's actually a very big surgical instrument that is very intuitive and very accurate in terms of transferring the skills of the surgeon to the controls or to the robot and to the patient. So which means the ones that is controlling all of this, the three main platforms of robotic surgery, is still the surgeon. So that's why it's safe, it's very intuitive, dynamic, and also mostly it's safe.
Okay. So now we know that there's a robot that's attached to the patient. There's a console in another room or beside the patient where the surgeon is in the controls, like a video game, right? So he's just there. And then is that wireless or there's a connection? Or we want to know if there's a Wi-Fi, how do you connect the robot to the console on the other room?
Yes, that's a good question again. So to connect the console, which is the control, as well as the robotic arms, there are actually wired connections. No, it's not yet wireless because wireless is still not that stable. So because of safety, it is still connected with wires. However, the robotic arms, which is actually about four arms. No, why four arms? One arm holds the camera, the other two holds the dissecting part, that's where the working part, and the other one is the retractor or sometimes is the one that holds. So all of these four arms are controlled by the surgeon. Okay, it's controlled by the surgeon. That's the one that is attached to the instrument that goes to the patient. So basically, this robotic arms is the one that is with the patient and then connected with a long wire wherein that's where the robotic console is and where the control is. So you can see this type of concept, Raul, was actually was started because during wartime, what they did was that the robotic arm is where the front lines are, and the surgeon is not in the front lines, but far away from the, we call it the OFB or the forward operating bases, no? So if a soldier gets injured and needs surgery, they don't need to lift and travel so far. Right then at the forward operating base can be done already while the surgeon is safely on the other side of the base. And they've done this. Mm-hmm. Because of that technology, it means that the doctor can remotely control and can do the procedure. And this was actually demonstrated way before Raul, wherein using this platform, the surgeon was in France and the patient was in New York.
Nice. So
the surgeon did the surgery and the patient was in New York. And on that distance, the surgery went well. So it was really one of the landmarks of robotic surgery. And that, mm-hmm. I think, was the wireless part. And it can be done as well.
And probably with the advent of 5G connection, which is very, very fast connection, I think robotic surgery can be remote. What do you think?
Yes. That's why the 5G is a very strong, the strength, and it has to be stable. Then yes, new platforms are now slowly being developed, the wireless part. And with this, it could actually progress or even evolve into a more much accurate and less bulky instruments and even more safe, most likely.
Okay. Some people listening probably are asking by themselves in this question, well, why do we still need a robot? You know, I mean, a surgeon or maybe a surgeon's listening to us right now. You know, di ko na kailangan yan. You know, I think we could do it. So, what can you tell them? You know, like what can you tell these? Of course, there's always that other side, the traditional side, and then there's the robotic side and the minimally invasive side. What can you comment on that?
Yes. Okay, robotic surgery is actually also a minimally invasive surgery. So the benefits of minimally invasive surgery is there. However, because of the intuitiveness, the good visualization, those surgery that are complex, those surgery that needs a very fine movements can be done without really doing maximally access or big or long incisions, and can be done by using the robotic surgery. So that's one advantage. Second, you see, what we have, this robotic surgery is just the start. It is slowly evolving, no? And because it's evolving, it's going towards really more and more minimally invasive. And if you as a surgeon wanted to adapt, wanted to learn about that future wherein new things will be coming over, this is the time to learn robotic surgery. Because this platform, okay, when the next platform comes in, the learning curve will also be long, not unless you are already doing robotic surgery, and eventually the learning curve will be shorter. If there's a shorter learning curve, more patients will benefit, or more of your patients will benefit with your skills as a surgeon as well. So you see, yeah. It keeps on evolving.
Yeah, just like medicine and any other surgical specialty, ophthalmology, ENT, and surgery, we're all evolving. And I'm really excited about robotic surgery. And one day, Jeff, I'm going to go to your operating room and observe you do robotic surgery, okay? And
yes.
You also mentioned about Da Vinci system. And I think the Da Vinci system is one of the best robotic systems. How much would that cost, this system?
When you say how much does it cost, when you, are you trying to buy the robot or
yeah.
or a procedure?
Well, probably both. You know, of course, our listeners want to know, how much is this thing? Or, you know, maybe some surgeon somewhere want to know how much. And then probably some of the procedures, like how much do they pay? I mean, if it's okay, you can tell us, no?
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Before I go there, it's actually that the machine itself, the whole, you don't just buy the machine, you buy the whole program. You talk about the whole program. It includes the safety maintenance. It includes the continuous training of the surgeons. It includes the monitoring and the feedback to make sure that everything and the program itself is really successful. That's why the Da Vinci has been successful in this. It's not just buying an instrument. And it really costs a lot, millions of pesos or even thousands of dollars. No, it really costs a lot. Now, if you look at in terms of procedures, the most specialty that has been doing a lot of robotic surgery is the urology as well as the gynecology. And why is this? Let me tell you about urology first. Urology has been doing this because especially in the field or in the case of prostate surgery, the space are very, very narrow. And you need accurate surgical hands, accurate surgical skills to really get or be able to achieve your goal of doing the surgery. And that's why urology has most of the cases. And in terms of the prices, it ranges from about 200,000 to 300,000 per case. It depends on the type of case as well. But this is just a range, you know? So now I think there are moves of developing packages, and I think we do offer different packages. It could go higher. It depends on the patient's condition because, of course, it's not just the surgery itself, but the patient condition as a whole, no? And that's very important.
Okay. You said urology, OB gynecology, and you did the first thyroid robotic surgery. What other specialties or procedures that can the robot do so that the listeners have an idea?
Yeah. Yes. My field is endocrine surgery. So when you talk about endocrine surgery, that's mostly the thyroids, the parathyroids, the adrenals, okay? And then we also do advanced minimally invasive. That's where the digestive surgery comes in. What we have done, actually, when we performed the first robotic thyroid surgery was to do the thyroid surgery, remove the thyroid, and the thyroid is the organ that is located on the neck. What we did, or what we have done at that time, utilizing or using the robotics, we were able to remove the whole thyroid and leave the patient no neck scar. And that itself is a very big advantage to the patient. And so far, our patients have been, we've been successful and have been very satisfied with regards to utilizing or using robotic surgery for the thyroid organ. And so far, we've done already some cases with regards to the thyroid. Other cases that has been done, especially with OB-GYN, no, the gyne, because the surgery on the uterus, the ovaries, and sometimes they feel there are a lot of additions, or we call them organs sticking to each other while doing robotic surgery. Then the dissection of really slowly dissecting accurately and safely. Robotic surgery, we've experienced it, and it has really helped us in dissecting all of this or making the surgery far safer as well. There's still a lot of special procedures that can be done in some specialties, like the colon surgery. It can be done. The gastric surgery, yes, it has been done as well. Others now that are developing are, we call the single incision robotic surgery. What's that? Just a small hole, only one hole, and it can be done as well. So utilizing the robotic platform, the surgery can be done. And the patient ends up with sometimes a virtually no scar surgery. And because of this, patient even much quicker and faster to recover, and even much, much less painful. So there's really a lot of advantages out there, Raul.
Yeah, I could see the advantage. Minimally invasive, accuracy, less tremors, access, you know, minimal access. And then once you're inside, you have, because of the robotic arm can twist and turn, it can access a lot of, you know, and dissect more. Okay, so I for me, actually, you don't need to sell me the robotic surgery. I believe in it. That's why that's why you're my guest now, you know. And to inspire, you know, I mean, you're already trained in robotic surgery in the US and Korea. To inspire medical students, residents, where can you train in robotic surgery? Can you go straight to robotic surgery? Of course, you have to still go to surgical residency, but where can you, where are the other places can you train on robotic surgery? This is for the medical students, you know, the residents, fellows.
Okay. Yes, that's a great question. You see, we are also involved in training, and we want to pass on what we have learned. That's very important. You have to really, you know, continue the training and the education, and really teach it. No, so from the medical student, they still have to first complete surgical residency. It's very important. In surgical residency, the foundation of learning the principles of surgery is very important. From surgical residency, after that, then you go to a fellowship. A fellowship is a further training. So in our program, the fellowship is actually more on the minimally invasive. The principles of minimally invasive, you have to learn it. You know, you need to know also the pros and the cons. You need to know which kind of cases, which kind of patients will really benefit with minimally invasive surgery. Then once you finish minimally invasive surgery, then you further go to the robotics. But this time, you need to learn or need to know as a doctor what kind of subspecialty you want to train further. For example, like myself, I focus on the endocrine. So that's why a lot of thyroid and robotic surgery, that's what I perform. There's a colorectal surgeon who also doing a lot of robotic surgery. So he specializes in colorectal, doing minimally invasive as well as robotic. Then we have the urologist, okay? The specialty of urology. Another subspecialty, they also learn about doing like the prostate surgery. Then the head and neck surgeons, the ENTs, when they did a robotic, transoral robotic surgery. Then the thoracic surgeon, where they did the video-assisted thoracic surgery using robotic platform. And then I'm really waiting for Raul Henson to do the robotic surgery for the eyes. See, yes. That's how it is.
One day.
It's really growing.
Jeff, one day. I have my sights on robotic surgery. Remember, I called you once, though. But one day, one day. After this COVID, I'll definitely observe in your surgeries. So I think there's only one disadvantage of robotic surgery. You know, there's only one for me. It's just the price. You know, buying the machine, the complete program. Of course, the charges go with the patient paying all of these instruments. No, but I think the advantages far way more than just a regular surgery, you know. Jeff, it's no, I'm bilis na oras, you know, time flies fast, no. I'm glad that you were able to be my guest here in my podcast on robotic surgery, and I hope that our listeners, especially the medical students, residents, learn from this and see the beauty of robotic surgery. You know, my last question for you, Jeff. No, since we're done with the interview, is, you know, how do you define success? You know, success is defined so many types of success for definitions of success by other people, but each individual that I interview, they have a specific definition of success. For Dr. Jeffrey Domino, okay, how do you define success?
Okay, that's a bit difficult question, but yes. For me, how do I define success? I define success is when after you continue pursuing your dreams, after all facing the challenges, after all the difficulties, the frustrations, the obstacles, no? And then when you look back, you felt that you were able to fulfill your dreams. You were able to fulfill your legacy or your objective. For me, that's success. Because for me, my fulfillment is looking at the patient's the outcome. When the patients are really happy, when the patients are really satisfied, when the patients are really glad, no? And then when they come back to you, they only need to smile. Then that's a signal that, okay, I got the fulfillment of doing what the surgery did, or what we did the surgery. And for me, it was a success. And every success is like a miracle, because for me, taking care of patients is always a miracle. So that's very important. So for me, that's how I define success.
Okay. But for me, from what I see, from what I hear from you, no, and what I've heard from our interview, okay, you had passion, you had focus, and you had hard work. And those three, for me, is why you are successful now. You don't even know it, but I'm already telling you, Dr. Jeff, because of those three, you are very successful now. Okay? And so...
It's still relative, Raul.
Yeah, I agree.
We still continue to pursue. You see, every day it's a challenge. Every day there's new things. Every day we learn. You should always open up our mind or your minds. And well, of course, you're right with the focus. The focus actually is really focus on your dreams and focus that you are doing this for the patient. The bottom line is we're all doing this for the patient.
I love that. Patient-centric. That's excellent.
Yes.
Okay. That's it. Dr. Jeff, we're done. Thank you for coming here. I just want to, you know, maybe say some parting words and inspirational words to our listeners. Can you give some of your words of wisdom?
Well, for me, everyone has a purpose in this life. Everyone has a role. No, we always have a purpose. Pursuing that purpose, I think Raul mentioned the focus should always be there. You will always have frustrations. You will always have challenges. But if you know that your purpose, that your focus is that it can do good to the patient or good to the person, it's the truthful way, and it will benefit everyone, then for me, pursue that. No? And that's the way for me to go, and for you also to go. Okay? That's the important thing, I think, that you all... hopefully we'll take it from this.
Thank you, Dr. Jeffrey Geronimo Domino, the former head of the Minimally Invasive Robotic Surgery Center in St. Luke's. And with that, I come to a close with our podcast. And again, I thank our guest, Dr. Jeff, for gracing our podcast and sharing his expertise on robotics in surgery. And the title is Robotics in Surgery, Is There a Future? And I think the future is here. Thank you, Dr. Jeff.
Thank you very much, Fer.
Okay, so for our listeners, keep safe, stay safe, and God bless.